You are holy, Lord, worthy of went to God today. I want to thank God for my life, health, and strength. Thank God for my family, my wife. I forgot that last time. I don't want to forget that. And then she reminded me when she brought me some water. And then somebody asked me on the they weren't here and they heard the service and said, "What was that all about?" I said, "Well, sometimes I get nervous and forget. But I want to thank God for my pastor, my assistant pastor, as well, and thank God for all of you. Hallelujah." Our scripture reading is going to come from John, St. John, the, oh boy, glasses, okay. And I think it's the 13th chapter. Yes, it is. And the 13th chapter. You have that, you can say amen. And we're going to read from the 17th verse and we'll conclude. Hold on here. I am sorry, getting ahead of myself. No, we're going to read, that's right, the 12th verse and we'll conclude with the 17th verse. All right. Now, this is a time that I got to explain this first. This is a time that Jesus looked and he said, "My time is now at hand." And you can read that in the first verse. And he said, "I got to hurry up and show my disciples something." So he washed their feet. So we'll pick it up in verse 12 altogether. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, so I am. If I then, your Lord and your Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, that a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye when you do them." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness. We thank you for the service up until this time. We thank you for every testimony, every praise, every worship, Lord. Lord God, we lift you up. We thank you for your word today, Lord God. Now let it find a lodging place in our hearts. This we thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you just for a little while. So as always, if you have a 5 o'clock appointment, you will be on time for that. So we thank God. And not going to get into the politics, but I will say, if those of you, if your candidate lost and you are feeling some kind of way, I just want to let you know there is hope. There's a cry-in at Ithaca University. They're letting the students go while they're supposed to be in class so you can go somewhere and cry. They're giving them blankets and tissue. True story. So it's not too far from here. So if you're a candidate lost and you're feeling some kind of way, I just want to say that there's hope for you. You can drive 90 miles from here and you can cry with the rest of them. Hallelujah. It's a joke, people. It's a joke. Lighten up. This has been the roughest political season ever. I mean, you can't, one way or the other. I'm so glad my candidate, Jesus, never lost. My hope is not in who's here, on the throne here, but it's on the throne there. I thank God. It's crazy, but for me, I gotta say, we got a chance to put two judges in that are pro-life in the next couple of years, and we stop all of these abortions. That's enough. I don't need to go down any other issues. And just because Jay-Z hugged somebody don't mean they're not a racist. I just gotta say that. So what they do behind closed doors, we don't know anyway. So God's in control. So I'm not worried about who won or who lost. God's in control. Hallelujah. But when these late-term abortions, I mean, late-term, weeks before the baby's due, we gotta stop that. This is a big thing. So I don't need to know all of the other issues. I'm done right there. Pro-life, boom, I'm done. Because the Bible says, "They that hate me love death. I don't hate the Lord, so I love life. Hallelujah. And I believe it at that. I believe it at that. Put your thinking caps on and your prayer caps on. Hallelujah. But I just want to talk to you today about a subject. I come to bless. That's the subject. I come to bless. And when I say that, I mean there's going to be times in our lives where we need to be the spiritual leader of some sort. I don't care if you're, this message is for those that were sick, have been saved for 4 weeks or 4 decades, all right? Because there's times where we will have to step up and be the leader in our circle. There were leaders in Israel's time, but there's ranking in the leaders. If there's no Elijah around, then Obadiah was there. So when there's the two of them, then the ranking prophet, it would have been Elijah. So, and if Moses had been during that time, he would have been the ranking prophet. That's just how it is. Because the Bible says you have Moses and then the prophets. So that tells you that Moses was separated, all right? But I'm just saying that even if you're a single parent and you got 5 kids, 4, whatever, you're the leader. You're the spiritual leader. And God always had at least one leader in this world. And sometimes it's just going to be you. Your family, your community has to look to you for certain things. But you got to put yourself in a position to be used of God. And there's times where you can't be the wrong spiritual leader, as far as you got to know how to talk to people. People got to want to, you know, you can't go to people's houses. You go to encourage them. They're kind of like ducking and hiding. The lights go off and you're knocking on the door. And, you know, hey, I know somebody's in there. Why don't y'all open the door? We ain't home, you know? Or they answer, the little kids answer, my mommy said that we're not here right now. If you're that kind of leader, no one's gonna wanna be around you or whatever. So you have to be the leader that knows what to say, knows what that person's need is. Because needs are different. Sometimes there's a financial need. We can talk all we want, but sometimes people need $20 to put in their gas, and for gas, just to make it. So your family, your community, your neighbors, you have to be that person that's willing to step up. And if you don't mind turning, we'll just hold it for now. 1 Kings 17. We'll just hold it for now, but get it ready. But I want to just tell you a short story. It's a little graphic, so I just want to tell you they had the 50th, I don't want to say anniversary, but you know, a couple of years ago they remembered this atrocity that happened in New York City. It was a woman, her name was Kitty Genovese, and she was murdered. To make a long story short, she was murdered. But the point I'm trying to make is, she was a bar worker and she came home late often. But the devil got in somebody, and the homeowner, married with kids, and he said that something told him just to go out of his house that night and to kill a woman. And he went and he searched. And then he came across Kitty Genovese. And when he came across her, he followed her for a long time in her car. And when she got out to walk to her house, he ended up following her, and she realized what was going on and tried to run. And he ended up stabbing her twice. And I'm sorry I gotta say it that way, but if it is what it is. It's on the news and everything else, so we can't protect our children from everything. But anyway, he stabbed her twice. And she might have lived from that, because he was under a street light and he noticed that he was able to be seen, and someone cut on a light and said, leave that woman alone. So he ran and left her, and she's struggling from her injury. She tried to make it home and she realized she couldn't make it home. So she ducked into an open door somewhere and she laid there and hoping that someone would come to help. No one ever came to help. This man went to his car, sat and waited for the sirens to go off, About 15 minutes passed and he realized there are no sirens, although 15, 20, and then the paper said up to 38 people heard what was going on and did nothing. They cut lights on, they looked out, they saw, but they sat in their comfort and did nothing. That's not a blessing to people. You gotta get out of your comfort sometime. I don't, it was 3 in the morning, but there's a life at stake. Somebody could have called the police. The man returned after he saw no one came to her rescue, continued the onslaught, and did other things to her, and she brutally died. And later on, he confessed all of these things after he got caught with something else. And he admitted, he said, I would have left if I heard the sirens. But 38 people said they heard something and did nothing, including the hallway that the people came out, looked, saw him attacking her, closed their door, and that was it. That's not what we want to do in life. We want to get involved with people, not to that extreme. I'm not saying that, you know, we hope to never come across something like that, but they came up with a term, standby effect, and that's a psychology term even used to this very day. And we can't have that standby effect. We gotta be where God wants us to be, and it's for a reason that God has us there. So we have to realize that if I'm here and this is going on, God had it for a reason. I know it's a knife and everything else, but I'm gonna do something. I may not be able to jump in the way of the knife, but I can call the police, I can yell, I can scream. No one did anything. There was nothing done. And this poor woman just died, sat there for an hour before anyone came to her rescue. Let's turn to 1 Kings 17. Now this is Elijah the prophet. And this is after God told him to tell Israel there's not going to be rain on the earth for 3.5 years. So things are getting dry. I don't want to waste a lot of your time. Things are getting dry. The brooks are drying up. The water sources are drying up. So he's telling them, go here, go there. But then he tells them, I want you to go over here. In between battles sometimes, you know, he was in the battle with the wickedness of Israel and the wicked king and the queen. But between those battles, God said, I want you to do this one thing for me while you're resting from all of that. Go somewhere, Zarephath, and there's going to be a widow there that's going to help you out. Hallelujah. Pick it up in verse number 10. Now remember, Elijah has just, at this time, he's done everything that God wanted him to do. He was everywhere that God said, go here, he went there. But I like Elijah because he's human. And just because he's a prophet doesn't mean he doesn't have fault. And that's the thing. We can be used, although we have fault and failure. If you look through God's people, there was people that God used that have fault that we would never call on. We would never call on. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Hold up. Now that kind of language to us, that's like talking down to somebody, but in this context, in this day, this was as nice as you could be to someone. When you say, I pray thee and fetch me, sounds bad nowadays, but this is him pleading for her. All right, so verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am going to gather sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Got to understand what's going on here is this woman has given up hope for whatever reason. The Bible is not clear about her reasons for giving up this hope so much. But she realized this is going to be it. This is probably the last day for me. I don't have nowhere to go, nothing to do. Now, for some reason, she's gotten God's attention, and we don't know if somebody prayed for her. We don't know the situation, but all we know is he said to Elijah, go, there's a widow woman that's going to help you up. He didn't say, he didn't tell Elijah, you're going to help her up. He said, she's going to help you up. So God sometimes has you there to be a blessing, but somebody ends up blessing you some kind of way. It goes back and forth. So let's read verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Time out. He's telling her, I know what you said, but if you just do this one thing for me first. Why did he say that? Is this selfishness on his part? Take care of me first. I should come first. No, that's not the case. What happened here is Elijah had one commandment. Go and she will sustain you. So he knew that if I get her to be obedient to what God wants her to do, God is going to somehow bless her, not me. So I'm going to let her do this first. I'm going to let her give. Maybe Elijah knew something that no one else knew at that time. Because the Bible is clear. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosom. So God put it in Elijah's heart. Just have her be obedient. Because if I'm not mistaken, I believe a preacher said here not too long ago, if you're obedient, then God will bless you. If I'm not mistaken, I think I heard that here. But Elijah knew, I got to get her to help me so that she can be blessed. Yeah. Now that sounds weird. If we did it, it'd come off kind of weird. But Elijah knew, I got to get her to help me because that's what God said. Amen. 14. Yeah. Yeah. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Rain has always been a sign of blessing. I know people try to make it, oh, those are dark times. But rain has always been a sign of blessing in this farming society. So if you got no rain, you had no crops, which meant you had no money. So it was done. But rain meant blessings. So Elijah is saying, don't worry about it. Some kind of way God's going to provide for you. God is going to do this thing. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Now in that house, it sounds like it's just her and her son, but in a house there was many people sometimes, and just the natural born owners of the houses, the woman and her son, that they had servants and other things there. Verse 15. I'm sorry, 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail until the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and he was sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I gotta tell you, this is a very natural thing. Sometimes you don't have trouble until you join the church. Is that right? I mean, sometimes we come in church and we have this thing like, I'm going to join church and then problems are going to go away. But sometimes they just become different problems and you overcome them differently and better. And it's an easier time for you. But you got to stick around long enough to find out. So this woman, in her mind, did this thing. And she's feeling good. I'm giving to this man of God. I did what he said. And now this miracle happened. They have food constantly and they never went out and replenished anything. This is a great miracle. There's no bottom to this. I mean, it's like having something that you go every day and it's more in there. Look, I didn't put anything in there, did you? No. Let's just eat. I ain't saying nothing. Let's just enjoy the food. I'm not going to have any questions. So this is a great miracle and the woman knew it. So she's like, well, this is great. Now the test comes. just like it will for you, me, and everybody else. The test will come, but we're able to overcome and stay the course with God's help. Now, what I like about this, let's continue reading here. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I done with thee, O man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" Now, he had never mentioned anything about her sin or anything. This is many days. And a man of God wouldn't have worked like that. He wouldn't have stayed in the house that long without saying, on day one, here's your sin. But he stayed with her. But something in her spirit, she knew something, and God was working something in her and out of her, maybe. And God, and she said, "What did I do by joining the church? I had this kind of thing. I didn't have this problem until I joined the church." This is us. This happens to us. "I didn't have these problems until I joined that church. You know, until I got with the man of God, until I got with God's people, I didn't have this trouble." So she's having second thoughts about her whole thing right here. So she goes on, "Well, what I like about Elijah, although she said, 'Oh Lord, what happened here?'" The thing about Elijah, which is so different from us, he's not cool and everything. So he's like, "Oh Lord, what happened here?" You know, he's just like she is. "What did I do? Did I do something wrong?" So this is showing his human side, his compassion. And he's like, is it my fault? Because I'm not so self-righteous that maybe it is my fault. So he's going through this in his mind. So we can't be so lifted up in God that we think we can do no wrong. We have to sometimes question even what we've done or what we've said or how we talked to someone or how we presented something. So we have to think about it. We can't just have this nonchalant attitude, "Oh, I'm the man of God. I can do no wrong." That's not what he did. He said, "Oh my Lord, what did I do?" But he still wants to help. And he said unto her, verse 19, and he said unto her, "Give me, I pray, give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up in a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed, and he cried unto the Lord. I just need to, you know, it's something when you have a problem and you know that someone else feels your pain. It's something. It doesn't minimize what's going on, but it certainly does know, man, they're almost as hurt as I am. They're just as hurt as I am. When you can look and you can see it in their face, it's like they're just as hurt as you are. And this is what God wants. He wants us to feel after one another like that. He wants us to lift one another up in prayer. And he was genuinely hurt by this. So he took the boy up to where he was sleeping, and he wanted to talk to God. And he cried unto the Lord. And he said, "Oh Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried unto the Lord and said, "Oh Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." But he said, "As I came to bless, I didn't come to cause no trouble. I came to bless. I know on the way to the blessing, there might have been some rough times, but I came to bless. I don't know about you, but when people see me coming, I want them to know that I got them on my mind. I want them to know that I came to bless. I want them to know that I'm being good. I want them to feel that I'm coming for good and not bad and evil." But this woman said, "Okay, now I know that you're a man of God, because the word of God that you spoke was true. Something worked out in her. I want to, when it comes my time, to step up to the plate and do something for God. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. Because God has good company. We are in good company if we be a, if we can become a blessing to people. I don't know about you, but if it's my time, I don't know what He wants me to do or say or where to go. But we're in good company because we read in the Bible that Abel had a more excellent offering and a sacrifice. And we realize he didn't know what he was doing, but God talked about it afterwards. He had a more excellent, excellent. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with the Lord, and he was not, because the Lord loved him so much, he just took him. It was his time. It was his time to step up. So he left us that testimony that he was took and taken by God. He had such a fellowship with God that God said, just come and stay with me. I want that to be my testimony. I want that to be my testimony. All God needs is one. He only needed one when Noah built that ark. He only had one righteous. Remember the prayer that Abraham made. He said, if there's one righteous, will you forgive the city? Will you spare them, their sins? Yes, I'll do it for one. So that tells me that if there's one in this world, God will take care of us. But we got to step up to the plate and do what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about Abraham. He staggered not at the promises of God. He staggered, talked with God. And God made him a promise. And he believed him when he said, is there anything too hard?
And the Bible says all eyes were on him because they realized
This man dreamed about himself. And all eyes were on him. And he sat down and they couldn't stop looking at him. They couldn't stop. And he said, what y'all looking at? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. So I say to you, fulfill the scripture that God has for you. God has you here for a reason. You are a spiritual leader somewhere. You're not going to be the spiritual leader in the church, we got one. But you're going to be the spiritual leader in your home. And you're going to be the one on your job. And you're going to be the one in your neighborhood. You're that spiritual leader. They need you. And they can't catch you out there being somewhere doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. God wants to use you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for all of you today. You can stand at this time. Hallelujah. God is so good. I come to bless. I come to bless. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. God wants to use you where you are.